Y'all pray for us. But I don't know that personally I've ever done this before. Last week I preached on something, and I knew I wasn't going to be able to get done with it. And I kind of told y'all that coming back this week, and I don't think there's a thing wrong with it. I've seen a lot of preachers do it in different times, and there's nothing wrong with it. But I don't know if I've ever, and hopefully we'll get done today with what the Lord has laid upon our heart. That has been our thought, is about the heart. Last week was the heart desires, and the desires of the heart. We talked about the 10th chapter of Psalms. We talked about how the wicked and their desires of their heart. We read from the 10th chapter of Romans about Paul's heart desire, and a whole lot to do with the heart. With the heart, a man believeth unto righteousness. We went over and read with Noah in a time when the Lord destroyed with the flood, and it said every man's heart was wicked and evil, and the Lord had saw that. But Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord, and that was the difference in Noah's heart and all men's kind. It was the grace of God. And that was the difference between him and other men. We read from Luke chapter 7 about the good treasures of the heart. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, nor can an evil tree bring forth good fruit. So, me and Larry talked some this week, and that's what my prayer through all this is, that every one of us get a grip on a little understanding. And if you would today, that the good tree he's talking about there is not me and you. It's about Jesus. He says, hereby we know we dwell in him and he dwells in us because he's given to us his spirit. You'll find that in 1 John 4 and 13. When he comes within you, he's the good tree. He's the good treasure of your heart. And it will never, ever bring forth anything evil because it's God. That's the God part. That's the part in us that cannot sin. That's the seed that will not sin. Amen. And so, if you can't get an understanding of that, we're going to have a hard time getting through this. But once you get an understanding of that, it'll change everything about you read in the Bible. It'll change everything. I hear people say it all the time, if anything I've done good, it's of God, it's not of me. They say that, but I don't know if they truly believe that. Somehow they still think they're involved in it. But if it's good, it comes from God. Amen. Your heart, many times in the Bible, not every time. That's why I read last week, I didn't read all of it, but the definition of heart in the Webster's 1828 is 2.5 pages long, is the definition. Now, most definitions you'll look, you'll get a paragraph. The definition of heart is 2.5 pages long. It's something hard to understand. But most of the time in the Bible, when it talks about heart, it's comparing it to the soul of man. And not every time, but most of the time, it is. And so when you think about that, and when you go to studying about the heart in that way, in the soul of man, that part is what God, that part that he's come in there, and that part can do no wicked. It can do no evil. It cannot sin. Not at all. But listen, just as somebody that's been saved is that way, if you've never been saved by God's grace and you're an age of accountability, your heart is wicked. And your father is the wicked one, and he can do nothing. Understand this. You can do nothing good in the sight of God. People out there trying to get to heaven on their good works, you will never get there. You will never make it because there's nothing good about you in the sight of God because your heart is wicked. So if you don't get a grip on that, you're going to have a hard time. But if you can get a grip on what is good, the good part about us, the only good part about me, we say that all the time, but believe it, know it. The good part about you, the good tree, is Jesus. When he saved your soul, he come in there and it's good and it can't do no evil.
So our thought today is on a pure heart. And a pure heart is cleansed. It's clean. It's a pure heart. And we're talking, now listen, when you compare the heart and the soul, I've talked a whole lot about our hearts being knit together. Colossians 2 and 2, their hearts being knit together in love. Jonathan and David's heart, souls were knit together. It was talking about the same thing. You're comparing the heart with the soul. And so we got to understand that, get a hold of that today too. But we want to read from Ezekiel, very familiar. It says it in different places, but we're reading from the 36th chapter. It says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and we'll give you a heart of flesh." That don't seem to make a lot of sense. It's going to take a stony heart out of your flesh. In other words, a carnal heart. A heart that can't do no good in the sight of God. Listen, but he's going to give you a heart of flesh, and that means one that will live and live throughout eternity. But he said, I will give you a new heart, and also I will give you a new spirit. In the New Testament, often it says, as a new creature in Christ Jesus. He changes everything. When he's giving you a new heart, David said, my heart is fixed. And what it was, he had a heart transplant. God had given him a new heart. And we got to understand how to get a hold of that. Job said over there in the 14th chapter, who can bring make a clean thing out of something unclean? He said, no, not one. Listen, we must be born again. That's the reason we must be born again, because it's got to start anew. And he's when you're born again, you're given a new heart. And I want you to know that part of you cannot sin. Amen. So he said, listen, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Listen, how many times since you've been saved have you walked in his statutes and kept his judgments? I'm asking you. Has any of you felt like you failed? This is the same thing to do with the tree and the fruit. Listen to me, we can't do it, but he said you will. You will keep my statutes. You will keep my judgments. How can we do that? We can do it because he is the heart. He is the soul of man. He's what comes in there, and he will keep them. He will not fail, but me and you will. And until you get a grip on that, he's that part in there, that tree in there, that lives, that will not sin. And he can keep the statutes and the judgments. I will fail at it, but he will never fail. And Matthew 5 and 8, it says, blessed are those who pure in heart, for they shall see God. And we're going to try to do a whole lot of what we've done last week. We're going to talk about the heart a while, and then we're going to talk about a wicked heart and a pure heart. And because if we can get a grip on that, I pray that you'll be able to understand what we're talking about. But he said, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. And I've thought about that different times, Brother Barry. I believe everybody is standing for the judgment seat of God, and everybody will see God. But listen, I believe there's more to that than just when we see him then. I want you to know I can see God today, because I've been born again. When people see the stars and the trees and all that thing, they just see things out there. But when you're born again, child of God, amen, I've sat in a deer stand before, and it'd be dark, and all of a sudden lights start coming over there through the east, and then maple trees and oak trees and all the colors start coming alive, and you can see God in it. There's something down in you, and it's pure in you. The pure in the heart of man lets you see God in all his creation. A carnal person can't see that. They don't understand that. They just see things. But me and you see God. There's times after I preach and I give all of God. And many of y'all come around, shake my head, pat me on the back. But then somebody look like little Manny will come by. And she'll just wrap her arms around me and hug me up. And I'll look down at that little child. And I see God. Because of pure in heart, there's something in you that lets you see God in things. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Listen, when you've been born again, there's something in you that lets you know that God is real. It ain't a story in a book. It ain't something that's been held down through the years. When these little children that love you, and I want you to know, the first time that happened to me, y'all heard me tell it, I was in Lafayette. I was helping in a revival. I felt like I'd feel miserable, just like I'll feel today, I promise you. And I got up there and I laid on my belly crying and asking God, forgive me and help me. And everybody come around and shook my hand and tried to encourage me. And then all of a sudden, I'm standing there and a little child I come up to me, I didn't know, never seen before. They said she come with them as a visitor, just a little bitty girl. And she just wrapped her arms around me and looked up to me. And I saw God. I want you to know it was God who wrapped his arms around me. He used that little child. Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. Have you ever seen him? A little face, a little blonde-headed, curly-haired girl. Have you ever seen? Have you ever seen? And the sun said, have you ever seen him when you lay there looking at all the stars? Blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. My faith went inside. I will see him someday. Listen, I know that. But honey, you can see him today. If you've been born again, there's something different about you when you say, y'all pray for us. Peter went to the household of Cornelius. He preached the gospel to those people that got saved. In the 15th chapter of Acts, you find where there was some went to teaching that you had to be circumcised to be saved. And Peter, he stood up and defended the truth and told them about what happened there at the household of Cornelius. And how they was wanting to put a yoke on people that neither they or their forefathers was able to carry. I listened, but Peter stood up and listened. I will pay attention to me what this says. If you don't think the heart has nothing to do with the soul, this is probably, this may be, surely I may not change your mind, but maybe God and the Word of God can change your mind on it. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Listen now. And he put a no difference between them, purifying their hearts by faith, Listen to me. Therefore, why tempt ye God? Put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which are neither our fathers nor we are able to bear. But we believe through grace, our Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. So listen. He said they purified their hearts through faith. And when they got saved, I want you to know it's a heart change there. It's a new heart put in a man. And that heart cannot sin. Cleansed, made perfect, clean by the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter said, purified your souls. Over in, if you'll go over and read where it talks about, we'll just go over and read it. I don't leave no doubt in your mind today. For as much as we know that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received as the traditions of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily foreordained before the foundation of the world was made manifest in these times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love for the brethren, and to see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And he said he purified your souls. We read to you a while ago, it purified their heart. I want you to know it's talking about the same thing. We believe it's a heart word. We've always believe that, and I'm not willing to change on it. I believe it's still a heart work today, and I pray that when the Lord comes back, our old time church is still preaching that it's a heart work. And you may wonder why I've went about this, about the tree can't bring forth good, evil tree can't bring forth good tree, and a good tree can't bring forth evil fruit. If that is to prove what's inside of us, the soul of man, the heart of an individual that's been born again, that's been purified, that's been made pure, that's able to see God, cannot sin. So when we say the heart is always wicked, it is until you're born again. You got to understand, this is going to be hard for y'all to understand. It's going to be hard to take. But even these babies, when they're born wicked. You were shaped in sin, and in your mother's womb you was conceived. Why is that? Why is that? Because you were born of the seed of Adam. Because of disobedience of one, many were made wicked. But because of obedience of one, being Christ Jesus, many were made righteous. So every one of us have come forth from our mother's womb telling lies. Every one of us is born wicked. The difference is some never come to an age of knowledge, accountability of knowing that they're sinners. And by them, they go right to the Lord. Just like David's baby did. He said, I can't bring you back, but I can go be with him. He had no doubt where he was because he never come to the knowledge of sin. Now listen, but every one of us is born with a wicked heart. So all mankind are wicked. Our righteousness are filthy rags. When it says that, it means that it's talking about you. Our righteousness is, but his is not. And that's what we're talking about, the heart of man. When you're born again, his righteousness is not filthy. And we should never say it is. Never say it is. I don't believe we're saved by works. You can believe what you want to. This is going to take a while. It's going to be a little reading. First, I will read. Last week we read from the 7th chapter of Matthew. You can read sort of along with this. In the 12th chapter of Matthew, I'm going to read the 7th chapter of Matthew. Ever So every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth forth good fruit is hewn down, and every tree that bringeth forth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Not everyone that, listen to me, listen, he ain't stopping, he's going on. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but they that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And what did he say to them? And then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Listen, he told them, these people thought they had done good. They thought they'd cast out devils. They said they'd done many good works, but he said, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye work iniquity. Listen, there's nothing you can do in the sight of God that will please God. I've heard people stumble. I'm fixing to get in some. I stumbled over the tree forever until he told me, listen to me, I'm the tree. And once I got a hold of that, I thought, yes, that makes sense. It made perfectly good sense that he's the good treasure of my heart, that he's the tree. He's the tree, and I'm just the branches. So listen, honey, when you get a hold of it like that, it can't do no evil. So if you're following God, and I mean truly following God, you can't do no evil. Now, I've heard, and I've stumbled over these myself. Then shall the king say unto them, 25th chapter of Matthew. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come, blessed my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee a drink? When saw we a stranger and took thee in, naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. Now, if you was the world and most religious organizations, they tell you the reason they were going to inherit what the Lord had done for them is because they took care of their neighbor. They'd went and visit the ones that were sick. They wouldn't visit. That's what it says. Ain't it what it says? That's what it says. But the reason they was able to be recognized for that is not what they had done. It come from the good tree. It's what Jesus had done. And that's the good works. He is the good works. Listen, you say, well, I don't see it that way. Well, then you're going to have a hard time with this next one then. Because you can't say that when you're fixing to have a tough one with this one. Then shall they say unto him that was on the left hand. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, depart from me and be ye cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Listen to this. Listen to how it's read. For I was a hungered and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, you visited me not. Then shall they also answer and say, Lord, when we saw we thee a hunger and a thirst, and a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee, when did we fail at this, Lord? Then he will answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of these least these of these, you did it not unto me. And these shall be go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. In the world today, the religious world would say, because they failed to do those things, they got sent to hell. I want you to know, I believe in all my heart, they done those things. What did I read to you in the 7th chapter of Matthew? He said, Lord, had we cast out devils in thy name? Had we done many wonderful works? But he said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew ye. If he's never in you, there's nothing you can do that's going to please him. Those in the flesh cannot please God. There's nothing you can do to please God in the flesh. So listen, I believe they had done these things, and they want to know, when did we fail at it? I went and visited my... You don't think they never done nothing good? Do you believe that? You don't think they never give, hey, Larry, you want something to eat? You don't think they ever went and saw their mama when she's sick? You don't think they never done any of these things? They done them. But God never recognized them. You know why? Their hearts was wicked. And it couldn't bring forth no good fruit. They was just lost sinners. That was trying, the world's trying to do that today. 99% of the religious world out there today is trying their best to take care of their neighbor and get in heaven. Now, I ain't downplaying take care of your neighbor. Once you're saved, you should take care of your neighbor. But until you're saved, it's just a blind leading a blind into the ditch. You can't do a thing to help nobody else until you help yourself. You say, well, what's this got to do with the heart? It's got all to do with the heart. The soul of man can't do nothing that's good until it's saved. But I want you to know, after it's saved, it can't do nothing evil. Because God is that part. It's his seed. See, we come from the seed of Adam. And because we come from the seed of Adam, every one of us are sinners. But when his seed is planted in us, then we're made righteous.
Amen.
And then we can have a pure heart. And does anybody get this? Are y'all having a hard time? I did for a long time. If you're having a hard time with it, I understand. I do. Just understand this. Hereby we know we dwell in him and he in us, because he's given unto us his spirit. Once he comes inside of you, there's a part of you that can't sin. It can't do no wrong. But until he comes inside of you, there's a part of you, that inside part, it cannot do right. You can do everything you want to. You can go out and you can give everything you got away. You can do everything. You can, you'll never be saved. He'll say, depart from me, I never knew you. And you'll stand there and try to give your explanation how good you've done and all the good things you've done. He's going to say, depart and be cast into everlasting fire. A pure heart. A heart that's been fixed. A heart that's been changed. Amen. I've failed so many times. I mean bunches of times. That's why I had such a hard time with what I read to you last week. Matthew 7, Luke, Matthew chapter 12. When I began to preach and I read Genesis and the first five books of the Old Testament, then I read the Gospels and I started with Matthew. When I got to that 7th chapter of Matthew and I read that, and it said, a good tree can't bring forth evil fruit. And I got saved when I was 14 and I was in my late 20s.
And I read that and I thought, have I been wrong all this time? Am I really saved? Because I looked back all the things I'd done. I thought, look at all the things I've done, Lord. And I thought for sure I'd missed it. Surely I ain't saved because I know I've done this and I've done that. And how can this be, Lord? And for years it haunted me. That's the only way I doubted my salvation was by the Word of God. And then one day it comes so plainly to me. Listen, I'm the good treasure of your heart. I'm the tree that can't sin. I'm what's in you. I'm the heart that's in you that can't sin. And boy, when I finally saw that, then Matthew 25 made sense to me. I listened in. Romans chapter 8 made sense to me. Those in the flesh cannot please God. Listen, everything started tying together to me then. I understood when somebody said, there's nothing good about me. If anything good comes from me, it's from God. I began to understand then. And I knew then, thank you, Lord, that you're the tree. Amen. And I'm just a branch. Amen. Any good fruit comes from me, it come from God. Yes. Amen. So our righteousness are filthy rags. But listen, his ain't. Amen. So our is a heart that's not evil. If you've got one that's evil, you better be checking in with the Lord. Check inventory. Because if you're bringing forth evil fruit, then you've never been born again. That's the facts. You say, well, Brother Jeff, that ain't for you to say. Only God knows the heart. If you're bringing forth nothing but wicked fruit, and I ain't saying you, I'm talking about the one that's in there. Your heart. If it's bringing forth wicked fruit, then it's never been changed. It's never been changed. I hope and pray this helps us understand a little more about it. I've wrestled with this for months. Because I didn't want to do it. I pray nobody never takes this offensive. That's not what this has been about. It's not about me being right and somebody else being wrong. It's not about anything like that. It's just about the truth. It's about giving who deserves honor and glory the glory. And never tearing him down. Because he's not wicked. That part of me is not wicked. And it don't think evil. Jeff does. But he don't. He don't. When Michael was talking about the flesh a while ago, I thought, boy, what he's saying is right. You let that flesh get involved. And don't listen. We can be carnal, even though we're spiritual. We can be. That's what Paul was getting at him. He said, you're spiritual. You're not supposed to be this way. You ain't supposed to be acting like the world. Amen. We can do that. We can. But he'll never do it. Right. He'll never do it. So when somebody truly gets up and says, I got to do this, God's again, trust me, if it's of God, it's right. Now, whether they are following the right spirit or not, that's a different story. Just because they're saying they're following God, don't mean, because what did them say? Lord, Lord, didn't we do this? Didn't we do that? You don't think they didn't think they was doing the right things? But they never was pure in heart. They never did have the heart's desire of God to do the right things. So I'm thankful for what the Lord's done for me. I'm thankful he dwells in me. I'm thankful there is something good about Jeff Likens. Y'all heard me tell the story. I went to play golf one time, and Lycanses have never carried that great a name. I don't know about the Bronners, but the Lycanses have never carried that great a name. And I got up there, and we was going to play a scramble, and there was a bunch of guys I didn't know I'd never played with before. And we get up there, and everybody goes shaking hands. You know, my name's Jeff Lycanses, Larry Walden, and I said, my name's Jeff Lycanses. They said, Lycanses? I said, yeah. And every one of them reached back like it's right here, made sure the billfold was in their pocket good. I promise you they done it. And I thought, I understand. There's something about me that's good. You hear people say that, well, he's got a good heart. That's the biggest compliment anybody could give you. If you've truly got a good heart, if you've been saved by God's grace, you've got a good heart. And every once in a while, that even that'll bleed out and come out of the outside. Amen. I believe there'll be fruits come from a man or woman that's been saved. I believe you'll see some evidence of that along the way. First evidence, I believe, is a profession of their faith. Amen. Uniting with the church, being baptized. All those things are good things. But their being baptized won't gain you nothing if you've never been saved by God's grace. If your heart's never been changed. So that good part, the good tree, is Jesus. The good treasure of the heart is Jesus. That's the reason it won't do no evil. I hope this helps somebody. Amen. That's my thought. Maybe we can move on to something else next week, and y'all won't have to call somebody different for pastor or something like that. If you do, that'll be all right, too. I love you.